My dear brothers and sisters, I'm very happy to have been asked to speak to you this morning. I think I should tell you that I'm not too well known in the state of Utah. Sister Stone and I spent 36 years of our married life in the Bay Area. And only recently I stepped across from my office to the Lion House for lunch. And some dear sister came up and shook me by the hand and said, "Old Brother Cullimore, I'm surely glad to see you." I smiled and shook my head, and she says, "Oh, Elder Haight, how could I have made a mistake like that?" I smiled and shook my head, and she says, "Who are you?" And I told her I was Elder Stone, and she says, "Do you know me?" And I said, "I'm sorry, sister, I don't." She said, "I'm not going to tell you who I am." I'd also like to express appreciation to the choir for the beautiful music that they've rendered. Our Doctrine and Covenants 25:12 tells us, "The song of the righteous is a prayer unto me, and it shall be answered with a blessing upon their heads." I'm sure the members of the choir have been and will continue to be greatly blessed. Now, the subject that I chose to speak about this morning is temporal and spiritual success. You each come to this university because you want, in one way or another, to be a success. Of course, to different people, the term success means different things. Some of us look for success in acquiring money. Some of us seek it in the attention that comes from fame and renown. Some of us view the gaining of knowledge as one of the most important forms of success. Some of us find success in being happy in our work and in our family life. For some of you, the most important success right now may seem to be the attention of a particular young lady or young man, or perhaps the attention of anyone at all. In the context of the gospel, we tend to emphasize spiritual forms of success, and for good reason. But before we go very far this morning, I would like to remind you that secular success does have its place. In fact, when we analyze what is necessary to achieve such lofty goals as happy family life, we come to realize that some degree of financial success is essential. The members of our family need shelter, food, and clothing, and we also must be able to meet financial requirements for church contributions, missions, education, health care, and many other things. All these obligations take money, and more now than ever before. Therefore, we need to give a great deal of thought and effort to financial matters, not only to earning money, but also to developing the skills of good money management. On one occasion, President Brigham Young said, "If you wish to get rich, save what you get. A fool can earn money, but it takes a wise man to save and dispose of it to his own advantage." As those of you who are studying this field are probably coming to realize, money management can be a very complicated subject. I would like to take time to comment on only three basic suggestions. First, always pay your tithing. The Lord has promised us that He will open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings greater than we can receive if we pay our tithes and our offerings. And I testify to you that this is so. Keep yourselves eligible for these great blessings. Next, after you have paid the Lord His share, pay yourself something off the top. Save something out of each dollar you earn. Even though the amount may be small in the beginning, increase that amount as you can. Finally, in addition to setting aside your contributions to the Lord and your savings for yourself, you must also be wise in spending the rest of your money. Budget your money carefully and avoid going into debt. In this economy we live in today, we are all being encouraged to buy now and pay later. Advertisements make it sound easy and even glamorous to surround ourselves with the things we desire before we can afford them. But to spend consistently more than you earn makes it more difficult to control your wants and thus avoid many temptations. When I was president of the Salt Lake Temple, I had the privilege of officiating at the marriages and sealings of hundreds of couples. And I talked to nearly every couple about money management and suggested to them that instead of buying now and paying later, they should save now and buy later. I always told them that if they would follow this advice, they would not only save a high interest charge, but more important, they would avoid financial entanglement. In the scriptures, the Lord equates debt, even justifiable debt, with bondage. Regarding the obligations incurred in printing the Book of Mormon, the Lord commanded Martin Harris, "Pay the debt thou hast contracted with the printer. Release thyself from bondage." Each of us must decide for himself what things are worth going into debt for, such as a home or an education. But the principle is to avoid as completely as you can going into financial bondage. President J. Reuben Clark advised us, "Let us avoid debt as we would avoid a plague. Where we are now in debt, let us get out of debt. If not today, then tomorrow. Let us straightly and strictly live within our income and save a little." Although we must not overlook these material concerns in our quest for success, still the most lasting forms of success are those to be found in less tangible areas. The requirements for success in these areas are much the same as for success in most other fields of endeavor. So I would like to mention and discuss briefly some of the requirements that I think are important. First, be determined. One of the top requirements needed for success is determination, the firm commitment to follow a chosen path and obtain a desired goal. Not many have this quality, but it can be developed by anyone who is willing to pay the price through hard work. I firmly believe you can be what you want to be in this life. All you need to do is to set your goals and then work and sacrifice to the extent necessary to reach your objective. It is worth the effort. It can be done. Next, establish your priorities. Often we get so occupied with small concerns that we don't have the time or the energy for the bigger, more important matters. My advice is don't get thickly involved in thin things. We all need to work out our values and evaluate our time. Then we can establish priorities and use wisely the time granted us, which is one of our most valuable possessions. Remind yourself often that things that matter most should not be left to the mercy of things that matter least. We should organize our time and efforts appropriately according to the importance of our various tasks. Next, constantly evaluate your progress. In my father's day, business organizations took an inventory once each year. In the early days of my own business career, we used to take an inventory every 3 months. Now, most successful businesses find it essential to maintain perpetual inventories. In addition, up-to-the-minute records must be maintained on all phases of the business so that management can keep constantly informed. Such information is required in order to analyze what has been accomplished, to evaluate the present condition of the business, and to set goals for the future. The electronic age has made all this not only possible but necessary. If it is important for a business to have an up-to-date analysis of past performance, present condition and plans for the future, think how much more important it is for us as individuals to constantly evaluate our own situation. Where have we been? Where are we now? And where are we going? In this modern, rapidly moving age we now live in, it just is not good enough to take stock once a year or even once a quarter. If we are to live righteous lives and accomplish the purpose of our creation, then we must constantly review our past action, determine our present status, and set goals for the future. Without this process, we have little chance of reaching our objectives in this life. Next, take action. Charles F. Kettering, an American electrical engineer and inventor, incidentally, the inventor of the self-starter, once said this: "You will never stub your toe standing still. The faster you move, the more you're apt to stub your toe, but the more chance you have of getting somewhere." A father said to his son about to graduate from college, "With all thy getting, get going. Be on the march." We should always remember that the Lord cannot direct our path until we move our feet. Your education and training here will do little good until you start to make use of it. In the Doctrine and Covenants, we read this statement: "It is not meet that I should command in all things, for he that is compelled in all things, the same is a slothful and not a wise servant, wherefore he receiveth no reward." Men should be anxiously engaged in a good cause and do many things of their own free will and bring to pass much righteousness. That's in Doctrine and Covenants 58, 26, and 27. Next, be optimistic. If you are an optimist, it will help you to be happy in all of your endeavors. Never be a pessimist. I would like to tell you a story about a father and his small son out in the backyard of their home, and the father was teaching the son how to play baseball. And he told the young man, "I want to teach you how to handle the ball as well as handle the bat. So I'm going to let you throw the ball up and then see how far you can hit it." The boy tossed the ball into the air. He swung and missed. "Strike one," the father called. The boy again tossed the ball into the air, and he swung and missed the second time. "Strike two," the father called. For the third time, the boy tossed the ball into the air. He swung and missed again. "Strike three and out," the father called. And the boy then said to his father, "Dad, I may not be a very good batter, but you must admit that I'm a darn good pitcher." Now, he was a real optimist, looking for the bright side in every situation. It doesn't ever pay to be a pessimist. Next, develop and maintain endurance. We need to stick with our goal even though we run into great difficulty. Stick-to-itiveness is a common synonym for endurance. Often we are tempted to quit or give up when success may be just around the corner. Success comes not to quitters, but to those who stay with the job no matter how tough it may be. A person who gives up easily will never gain success in any worthwhile field. There are bound to be times when we're disappointed, but we should never be discouraged. Discouragement is a tool of the devil. I pass on to you the admonition that my wife has given me on so many occasions throughout our married life: do the very best you can, and remember that angels can do no better. There are times when, after doing everything we can, in the best way we can, you have to leave it in the hands of the Lord. Next, establish good work habits. We need to develop promptness, initiative, diligence, accuracy, and ability to give complete effort. Good work habits influence everything we do, from our occupation to the work we do at home, in school, or in church. A person who is lazy at home will probably be lazy at school and will probably become a lazy missionary and a lazy worker. One can develop good work habits only by getting at the work to be done at the time it needs to be done, by applying reasonable diligence, by taking pride in good performance, and by looking for ways to improve. The habit of being prompt, thorough, and accurate in all that we do is essential to good work habits. Success will seldom be gained without hard work. In my opinion, 40 hours a week won't bring success. President David O. McKay said in one of his conference talks not long before he passed away, "Within my experience, there has never been a time when the doctrine of individual initiative and individual effort should be more generally taught and more earnestly put into effect than at the present day. Too many are claiming that the world owes them a living and are sitting effortlessly by, expecting the world to throw its luxuries into their passive laps. Too late, they will learn that the earth rewards richly only the strenuous struggler." I love this phrase, strenuous struggler. It means willingness to work and sacrifice as necessary in order to achieve our goals. Next on my list is to be well-groomed. We do not have to be dressed in our Sunday best at all times, but we should wear clothes to fit the occasion. Personal cleanliness is also essential to good grooming. It's been my experience through long years in business that the person who really wants to get ahead and succeed and be a leader is careful about his personal appearance and uses good taste. Next, associate with good people. Those with whom we associate will contribute to our success or to our failure. Their actions and ideals cannot help but have a profound influence on our lives and actions, either for good or evil. Learn to walk in the company of good people. Shun evil by staying out of the devil's territory. Next, honor your principles. I have been asked on numerous occasions whether I found it necessary to violate my principles in order to succeed in business. The answer is no. Others will respect you for adhering to your beliefs. While it is important for us to live according to our standards, we should never try to force our belief on others. The Lord intended that every man should have his free agency, and it is not our prerogative to judge others or to be critical of those who do not share our beliefs. Next, be honest. The 13th article of faith tells us that, quote, "We believe in being honest, true, chaste, benevolent, virtuous, and in doing good to all men." Honesty includes freedom from lying, deceiving, cheating, and stealing. These types of sins are reprehensible, and the scriptures condemn them emphatically. Jacob, the brother of Nephi, declared, "Woe unto the liar, for he shall be thrust down to hell." And when priests were sent among the Nephites, they did preach against all lying and deceiving and stealing and robbing and plundering. In the Doctrine and Covenants, the Lord commands us, "Thou shalt not steal, and he that stealeth and will not repent shall be cast out." To be honest, we must not only refrain from stealing money or goods from our employer or from others, but we must do a good day's work for a day's pay. If we shirk on the job, we are stealing time from our employer. And this habit is as bad as stealing money or merchandise. If a person wastes 30 minutes a day, he steals about 3.5 work weeks every year. If we are honest in our small dealings, we acquire the habit. And we will then find it easier to be honest in handling larger transactions. Honesty also includes the keeping of one's word or contract. We must fulfill our obligations promptly or make prior arrangements if we're unable to meet deadlines. A good credit rating is an invaluable financial and moral possession, and thus should be carefully guarded. We have literally hundreds of Latter-day Saints who have gained both temporal and spiritual success. One good example is the man who donated to the BYU this wonderful building in which we're meeting today. His name is J. Willard Marriott. He started out in an A&W root beer stand in Washington, D.C., and has achieved great success in the business world. Only last week I read in the financial news that his company earned over $10 million last year. He and his family have been and still are very active in the church. He has been a great help in the building of the kingdom in Washington, D.C. particularly, but the results of his generosity is found worldwide. His son, J. Willard Marriott Jr., now president of the Marriott Company, is also serving as a bishop of the Chevy Chase Ward in the Washington, D.C. stake. Such men are examples of those who possess the attributes I've been talking about. They have demonstrated determination, endurance, good work habits, proper grooming. They have lived according to their principles and have been honest in dealing with their fellow men. They have established and maintained a good credit rating and a fine reputation. Now, as you may have noticed, what we're really talking about is character, about the qualities and attitudes that will help us succeed in whatever worthwhile goals we may set. I'd like to mention a few more qualities and attributes that enable us to achieve the most important success, that of exaltation and eternal life. There are very few things that we acquire in this life that we will be able to take with us into the next life. But one of the most important things that will endure is intelligence. The prophet Joseph Smith taught, whatever principle of intelligence we attain unto in this life, it will rise with us in the resurrection. And if a person gains more knowledge and intelligence in this life through his diligence and obedience than another, he will have so much the advantage in the world to come. The Lord revealed the importance of this process when he said, "The glory of God is intelligence." Gaining knowledge and intelligence should be a constant quest in our lives. I commend you who are in school on your desire and effort to gain knowledge. But at the same time, I challenge you not to be diverted from this goal. Do not let the drudgery that sometimes accompanies learning and the pressure that comes from all the assignments obscure the privilege you have of learning, expanding, and understanding. Never be content with mediocrity, and never let yourself be complacent with what you have learned. The following words of the Lord might be applied to all types of knowledge. For behold, thus saith the Lord God, I will give unto the children of men line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, and blessed are those who hearken unto my precepts and lend an ear to my counsel. For they shall learn wisdom, for unto him that receiveth I will give more. And from them that say we have enough, from them shall be taken away even that which they have. That's found in 2 Nephi 28:30. When we become complacent and cease to grow, we also begin to lose what we already have. But if we continue to search, then what we have will be magnified. President Hugh B. Brown said this, as our understanding deepens and we gain new insights, our capacity to do or to become increases. There are limitless areas all about us which are yet unexplored, and they become increasingly evident as we push back the horizons of our knowledge. Now develop curiosity and an attitude of searching for knowledge. Always remember, however, that secular knowledge should not be your only goal. The Lord has told us, it's found in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Set aside part of each day for learning spiritual things, for expanding your spiritual experiences. One of the best sources for this sort of study is the Scriptures. Do you read in the Scriptures each day? We would all do well to study and ponder the Scriptures, for they contain the keys to those things that will contribute to success. Here are just a few questions that are answered in the Scriptures. How can we be healthy? Doctrine and Covenants 88:124 tells us, cease to sleep longer than is needful. Retire to thy bed early, that ye may not be weary. Arise early, that your body and your minds may be invigorated. I think this might apply especially to college students. Having some grandchildren in college, four of them here at BYU. And of course, you should read the Word of Wisdom, section 89 of the Doctrine and Covenants. Read all the do's as well as the don'ts. This will tell you how to be healthy. How to acquire riches and security. Anyone interested in that? He that receiveth my Father receiveth my Father's kingdom. Therefore, all that my Father hath shall be given unto him. This is a part of the oath and covenant of the priesthood. Section 84, verse 38. Seek not for riches, but for wisdom, and behold, the mysteries of God shall be unfolded unto you, and then shall you be made rich. Behold, he that hath eternal life is rich. If you seek the riches which it is the will of the Father to give unto you, you shall be the richest of all people. For ye shall have the riches of eternity. And it must needs be that the riches of the earth are mine to give. But beware of pride, lest ye become as the Nephites of old. How can we gain wisdom? As all have not faith, seek ye diligently and teach one another words of wisdom. Yea, seek ye out of the best books words of wisdom. Seek learning, even by study and also by faith. That's the Doctrine and Covenants 88:118. And then this great passage of Scripture, James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now, as you know, brothers and sisters, if it wasn't for the fact that Joseph Smith was studying and pondering the Scriptures and came across this and decided to do something about it, we wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't have the restored gospel. Next, how can we be sure we are making a right decision? The Scriptures tell us. Look in the Doctrine and Covenants 9, verses 8 and 9. Behold, I say unto you that you must study it out in your mind. Then you must ask me if it be right. And if it is right, I will cause that your bosom shall burn within you. Therefore, you shall feel that it is right. But if it be not right, ye shall have no such feeling, but you shall have a stupor of thought that shall cause you to forget the thing which is wrong. I'm running a little short of time. I'm going to give you the questions and then the scriptural reference and let you look it up. How can we be loved and respected? Matthew 7:12. How should we treat others? John 15:12 and Galatians 6:2. How can we serve the Lord? Messiah 2:17, and in the Doctrine and Covenants 4:2. Now, my brothers and sisters and friends, no one can give us a testimony, nor can we buy these treasures. They can only be secured through individual effort. We need take a few minutes' time each day to study and ponder the Scriptures, carefully analyze our position, and set our goals in the right direction. President Harold B. Lee had this to say about a testimony. A testimony isn't something we have today and we're going to have it always. A testimony is fragile. It is as hard to hold as a moonbeam. It is something we must feed and recapture every day of our lives. A testimony of the gospel by itself cannot save us. When the book of life is opened, we will be judged by our faithfulness. both our faith and our works. But a testimony can help us strengthen our faith and should motivate us to put forth greater effort to keep the commandments and to live righteous lives. Men and women who enter into a partnership with God, who live His commandments, and who are strenuous strugglers will be successful. So stay close to the church and take advantage of the opportunities to learn, develop, and give. The church provides unlimited opportunities for us to learn and develop ourselves through the priesthood, the Sunday school, the youth program, the Melchizedek Priesthood, MIA, seminaries and institute, relief society, sacrament meetings, and other church meetings. We need to ask ourselves constantly whether we are fulfilling our potential or whether we're drifting along with the tide. It takes no ability to be a drifter. One of the prime purposes of life on this earth is to provide us with the opportunity to meet, combat, and overcome evil. Through this process, we develop character and gain strength, power, and skill to prepare us for further development through the endless ages of eternity. All this can only be accomplished when we have the problems and then when we meet them head on with zeal, courage, and determination. Don't ever feel sorry for yourself. We have all been blessed to one degree or another with obstacles. God intended it to be that way in order to give us opportunity for self-development. Finally, we should neither be complacent nor despondent about the past. Success depends upon constant re-evaluation and recommitting ourselves. Elder Richard L. Evans had this statement to make. The moment we close the books on one period, we open them on another and compare our performance with the past. In business, we look back and compare cost and production and prices and profits. And no matter how good last year was, there is this year now to be considered. We have to keep at it, for life is a process and not a finished product. And there is no moment at which we can say the picture is completed. Likewise, failure need never be final as long as a person can improve his performance. Failure need never be final so long as a person has the spirit of repentance. Neither failure nor success is final so long as we are trying. So long as we have the spirit of improvement and repentance, and if we keep moving, keep working, keep improving, we can hardly help finding the happiness that we so much wish for one another, which is what the Lord God wants for His children as we want it for our own. Now our Heavenly Father wants us to succeed. The gospel is the plan He has given us for achieving eternal success. I admonish you to live close to the teachings of the gospel. Our beloved prophet, President Spencer W. Kimball, has told us the price of happiness is to keep the commandments. And I testify to you that this is so. Through obedience, we can not only find joy in this life, but also make the necessary preparations to secure salvation and exaltation in the eternal kingdom of our Father in heaven. May our Heavenly Father grant you success in all your righteous undertakings, and bless you with every blessing that will be for your good, I humbly pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.